I am DK, and here with me is Sam.
Oh, I love Rento Soccer. If I can get a shirt that says that, I will wear that. Oh, so what about you?
This is a talking friend. We haven't scared you off by now. I promise the next episode we will not talk about.
What is an anime without fan service, right?
From weak and disrespected to insanely powerful.
The story pulls no punches, man.
He gets sent pretty much down to the pits of hell.
I actually based a character in my light novel off of her.
I can't wait to read the comic though on that one.
I love action anime. That's all me right there.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a Filipino.
You're cut.
That sucks. There's like a bunch of isekais out there.
The adventure, the heroes. It gets even bigger and the enemies are stronger. And welcome back to another episode of Otaku and Friends. I am DK, joined by my co-host Sam, and we've got a great topic today for light novel fans. And again, everybody, welcome. And we also have joining us again is Chris as well.
Hi, everybody. I'm Chris Cardenas, author of Bellbreaker and Vanishing Lines. They wrote me back in. They dragged me back. Please help. They got me in a cage.
So is our returning guest Chris, a fellow otaku and self-published light novel author. Welcome back, Chris. So, Sam, what are we talking about today?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because today we are diving into anime adaptation of the light novels. So stuff that we're going to talk about are like the good, the bad of the adaptations, and probably ones that kind of just didn't really hit its mark. So, yeah, here we go. Deep dive.
All right. Well, we'll also be talking about the challenges of adaptation and what makes a successful one versus one that misses the mark. So, you know, we're not saying like these animes or light novels are bad. No, by far not, especially the light novels. Just, again, more so talking about the challenges of the adaptation. And again, some of the good ones, and then the other ones where it sort of just, you know, left us wanting more or much to be desired. But to start off, though, I think a lot of people know this anime as well, the light novels, more so the anime. Sword Art Online, SAO, the game changer. So one of the most successful light novel adaptations, I would say. I mean, dare I say, but there have been quite a few, but SAO, though, over the years, I think it's been one of the set the standard for future isekai and VR focused anime or MMO style anime. Ufotable's animation quality, and actually for at the time especially, it was actually pretty good compared to like the other animes that were coming out with adaptations. And I think that for me contributed to a lot of success of the adaptation. And then I think the pacing of the first season also, well, at least for me, you know, resonated with me, as I'm sure with other audiences. And then
absolutely,
I'm not sure if, you know, if our listeners would not have read both the light novels, even the manga, as well as watch the anime, but please leave your comments, you know, any feedback, great. I mean, we'd love to hear from you guys as well on what you think of SAO. We think it's one of the best anime adaptations for the light novel and the manga series, without going more into the story, but, you know, for adaptation, you know, as it goes with light novels and mangas, I feel like the anime went ahead and kept a lot of the story intact and kind of filled the gaps where the light novel, you know, because storytelling is different with anime versus with reading a light novel, obviously. So I thought the anime filled in quite a bit with that storytelling there as well, especially with the world building and how they interpreted as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, SAO, believe it or not, was actually how I found out about light novels. And the fact that they made SAO, like, that first season was amazing. And that's what really, it really hooked me to that one. So Why do you think SAO became such a defining series for anime adaptation light novels? What do you think?
Well, I think one because, this was like back in like 2012 when it first came out, and if you're, I know that was ages ago for a lot, for pretty much all of us, but back then, like, what animes do you remember even like back then that was,
Yeah,
you can
true.
go back and say, oh, as popular as SAO, I'm sure our listeners.
One Piece, baby, One Piece.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean. That's yeah, it was One Piece. And then you also have Dragon Ball still that was around. I think it was like on the tail end of Dragon. No, Dragon Ball Z was already finished. You have a handful, right? I mean, even Death Note was like finishing up then too. But we're
Oh
talking
my
about,
God, Death Note.
yeah, it
Oh.
was already finished for the most part. But I guess that's what I'm saying is like, what do you remember like back in like the 2010s that was just like, well. For anime defining moment, and I think SAO just hit it was, and I think this is where we start looking more into other light novels that were getting their adaptation because of the success of SAO. I think for me, that's where it started kicking things off, even though you could
Yeah.
as far back
Yes.
as
Oh, yeah.
obviously One Piece and obviously Dragon Ball, but that's more manga than I would say light novel because light novel too manga and then so SAO I think that's like you're pretty much your poster child there
Poster
of
child. Yeah.
success so I think because of SAO and how well the studio did it and also the music I think if it wasn't for the music and everything I don't think it would have been as good as well I think for me that's because of SAO we've had so many more anime adaptations. So, because of that, I mean, I'm sure it would have happened regardless, but
Yeah.
still, SAO, I think, kind of set the standard for a lot of ways.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
Also,
You think about the other ones,
funny
like.
thing that I think might have contributed to SAO's popularity over, especially over here in the West. Toonami was gone for like 5 years,
That's right.
so there was
Yeah.
like, aren't we were getting like spoon-fed anime on like Saturdays by Adult Swim that were like,
Yeah.
it was like Bleach.
Yeah.
And maybe Cowboy Bebop, maybe.
Big O, you
Yeah,
remember Big
Cowboy
O?
Bebop. Oh yeah.
Big O was taken down like with a Toonami, but
Yeah.
then at just before SAO came over to the West again, Toonami came back,
Yep.
and so for like
Yeah.
because Toonami was back, the SAO was like, oh, here's this shiny new anime.
I feel even older now that you mentioned that with Tsunami
Yeah.
and everything, because that's how I got my Dragon Ball Z for the longest time. So,
It
that is
makes
how
us all feel.
I first saw SAO, and I'm just gonna I just throw this in here. I'm not a big fan of SAO.
I mean, like, don't
Oh,
worry. We still love it. Don't worry.
it ain't so. I loved SAO, man. That was like one of my favorites back then.
Well, this comes from the gamer in me who was like, I don't like that as a game.
no, is that wrong? And I think that's fair. And like I said, this is like, I know we're like more to focus on the anime adaptation, not the story, because believe me, there's parts of the story is like with Kirito and everything being like a meh protagonist, it's just like. But I think that's more so others can picture themselves as the protagonist or can
Yeah.
try to relate whatnot. I mean, other than that, I mean, I get
Kirito's
what
kind of
you're saying.
dry.
What was
Yeah,
that?
he was kind of he was dry. His
Well, he
character
was
was
obviously, I
dry.
think
He's
it
the
that way.
weakest part of the show.
Exactly. Well, I think that's why they're making him,
Wow.
just sort of kind of like. Blah to begin with, like whereas even in the light novel, was like they're building up all the characters around him, and there wasn't so much on his part except for I don't know, like a humbug attitude of not wanting to go to the dojo and practice his sword art in real life. So I mean, little sister
Right.
had to do that instead. So I mean,
Oh,
anyway. But it
jeez.
also hit on all the typical tropes and everything, the whole younger sister in love with their
Yeah.
brother and everything, especially in
Dude, I swear, man, like how is it all these light novels have all this?
Anyway, let's stop bragging on Sword Art and move
Yeah,
on.
let's oh, God. Well, that's for another time, right?
I
You
know.
know, guys,
I mean
good
the redo healer is coming out of you right now, so we'll move
anime.
on.
Yes, all right, let's segue here. I think another really good one was Overlord.
Yes.
The dark fantasy, you know what I mean? Wasn't really dark. I mean, I to be honest, I've only seen a couple episodes of it. I thought it was pretty
It's
cool, but
darker.
it is darker. You're right. It is darker. I mean, it kind of fell kind of like I feel like they took inspiration kind of from SAO because the main character, I mean, he was in a game and then he got trapped. You know what I mean? And you know what's really cool about Overlord, just from what I can tell, was the anime studio that made that one was Madhouse, right? Am I getting my facts right there? It was Madhouse.
So in case our viewers don't know any of the animes or light novels we're talking about, and I apologize. And Sam's only admitted that he's seen a few episodes. Let me go ahead and just briefly give a description of well, we already passed Sword Art Online. If you don't know Sword Art Online, that's on you. I mean, it's been around for ages. But synopsis with Overlord. So it follows Ainz Ul'Gon. It kind of says it weird in the anime too.
Ainz
Ainz Ul'Gon,
Ul'Gon,
a
yo.
powerful undead player who is struck stuck in the game world of after the servers of the MMORPG shut down. So again, it's another like MMO, sort of like Sword Art Online, but it doesn't say it's like the MMO. It just says MMO. So it shut down. I forgot how you pronounce the words, like Yggdrasil or whatever. It's like the Y is, but thank you. So, and then all of a sudden he gets like isekai to like this other world. So he sets out to discover what happened to the real world while expanding his kingdom and learns more about his new reality. And so the his all his because he's overlord, all of his servants and everybody transported with him to this new world. So thus he's the overlord, and he's the only one of the gamers that so the pretty much they built this, I guess, like their own guild, and it had all these servants, these NPCs serving them, and so he's the only one left from his world there, so he gets to control all of them. Or not, I would say control, but he's their overlord. So
Yeah, he's pretty much their overlord.
so yeah, please continue, Psalm.
Yeah, so I mean, like obviously it had its old tropes in there too, like you know, just like SAO. I guess what's really cool, so from this is from just from me, from my perspective is when you're doing an adaptation, because I think the light novel for Overlord came out in 2018. You know, viewers, you guys can fact check me or whatever, but just the fact that Madhouse was able to like, you know, tell the story through animation versus like through, you know, the actual light novel, it's actually pretty impressive because when I watched the first couple of episodes, I can already tell there was a lot going on. Just the fact that, you know, it set the plot up right away. So you already knew. And then you know, in the light novel, I'm sure that's how they set it up too. It must have been a little bit different, maybe more drawn out. I'm not exactly sure. But I really feel like for Overlord, it looks like they're staying pretty true to that dark fantasy and that source material that they have from the light novel. And it looks really good. And I actually, it's on my list to finish. I know I'm on like episode 2 right now. I'm gonna finish watching the series and probably try to get some more insight into the, you know, the whole world building that what they did. And
And you're right, the world building in the anime adaptation, they actually did a I thought they did a good job, because I've read the first few volumes already at that time of Overlord, and then when the anime came out, I also did read the manga. The manga was actually pretty good too, but the light novels, So, like with your light novel, some is they're pretty long, but not as long as yours. I mean, like we're talking like 90,000 words long as you get further
Oh,
into the series.
okay.
So,
Yeah. Yeah, mine's like
but even
double.
for like a light novel, it's pretty long. But the detail, story building, world building, everything is in the light novel. It's really good, which is why, as I said before, when anime adaptation comes along, even I'm hesitant because if I like the light novel enough, it's like I don't know, but I know
Yeah.
I think you, especially if you haven't read the light novel, I think you hit on a lot of those good points already. Already seeing for a good anime adaptation is even if you don't know anything about the light novel or even the manga, is how is it building the pace of the story, world building? Are you getting enough information in the episodes as you're going? You know, because you don't want to like data dump in the first episode because you still want to click next, you know, for watch next episode, whatnot. So, but with Overlord, I mean, how do you feel about the pace for the first few episodes you watched?
It was pretty good, honestly, because it like I said, it set up the plot right away, and it just kind of like you kind of knew what the direction it was going. You're like, oh, I get trapped into this like game world now, and I have control over everybody, and now all the NPCs started to act on their own. You're just kind of like, oh, okay, so this is where it's going. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
So it yeah, I thought it went pretty well.
and compared to other dark fantasy adaptations, you know, what do you think of that? I mean, I you know, if there's one that comes to mind, because one that comes to mind is Tanya. I'm not sure if you ever saw the anime.
I don't think I've seen that one
Do
before.
you even watch anime? I've seen a
Not
bit of
as
Tanya.
much dark anime, but you
You know,
know, it's a little
Saga of
dark.
Tanya the
It's
Evil and
huge.
everything. To me, like that was another like the. Dark one as well. In fact,
They came out at a
I
similar
would think it's
time
actually
too.
darker. I'm sorry.
They came out at a similar time too.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. I
I
feel
feel
you on
like
those guys.
just from what I've seen of Tanya is a lot is much more darker than Overlord.
Yeah.
Like
No. Totally.
by a mile.
Yes. Oh, and those light novels are thick as hell too. So I mean,
Oh my God. Probably not
yeah.
as thick as mine, is it?
They get there. I mean,
It's
oh.
up there.
They
Golly.
yeah, but I don't know if they're 160,000 words, but they get there. I mean, dude, like
Ooh.
you were almost like a Game of Thrones novel length there. I mean,
God. Oh, jeez.
yeah,
So
thanks for bringing
any
that up
other
because they did come out around similar time. And you're right, Saga of Tanya the Evil is much much darker. But that was the only one I could think of at the time. Was like, well, what's another dark fantasy? There are a few others like, what is it? Oh, why can't I think of it? Is it oh, Berserker?
I heard
Yeah,
about Berserker.
but yeah, I mean, did you guys ever watch that one? That's another dark one. That one's really
Is
dark.
it really?
Oh
Is it
yeah.
really? Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
But that's not I know it's in manga. I don't know if it was a light novel. So well, I digress. Sorry, you're off topic,
Okay.
people. So
All good.
well, so do you have so Do you have anything to compare against then? So, like any other dark fantasies or
I
your
really
dark
don't.
fantasy
Not
that you're doing here?
at the top of my mind because dark fantasy isn't really my thing. You know what I mean?
I don't think for everybody, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's just everybody's got, obviously we all got our own tastes and stuff. So like, yeah, I just never really delved into the dark fantasy genre. Maybe I should, Overlord's a good start. So,
Yeah, and there's a lot of the light novels, I think there's, you'll have to fact check me on this one. I think there's, oh gosh, about 17 or 19 volumes out right now.
It's going.
What?
Holy shit.
Are you serious? That's how many volumes it has?
I'm not kidding you. It's like it's been out
And
for a while.
that oh.
Well, I mean,
Yo,
you didn't.
that person stay writing, huh?
What was that? Well, no, I think
So
there's
that
about
person just stays
17 volumes.
writing.
Yeah, no, I think there's about 17 volumes out right now. Or maybe that's for the manga. Sorry, for the manga there's some, but they're not going to finish the manga with the light novels. So, because I forgot about that. Yeah, I mean, unless if you guys know. about it. I mean, I haven't kept up with Overlord for the longest time, but no, I think there's actually, I'm wrong. I just went and checked 16 volumes. Sorry, 16 volumes for the light novels. So, you know, what I got confused with
A
is
lot.
I think is if you guys ever watched the anime, how what is it, a realist hero built the kingdom? Remember that anime?
That sounds
Not
so
really.
familiar.
Yeah, that's another Isekai one. So that one what was it? I think that they did like a double core season, first season, like 24 episodes. And I think that went through like the first almost like two volumes, maybe three. So, but yeah, there's like a lot of volumes for that one too. But there's no way they're gonna continue that anime. It's been ages now, but yeah, I got pretty high up there in the number of volumes, but there's gosh, I think there's about that one's like, there's gotta be about like 14 volumes at least, but I digress. Sorry about it, we're getting off topic. Anyway, so Overlord, great adaptation, great series, great story, great light novel, great manga if you ever want to pick it up. Moving on, Reincarnated as a Slime. I think that's another great anime adaptation. I think it's a great
Great
story.
one.
Light novel is good. The is great. The manga, I like the manga adaptation as well, and I think the anime adaptation is really great as well. For those that maybe not heard of it, hopefully you have, because they just finished their wrapped up their third season, which is kind of slow for me because it's just. Yeah, and I think, well, let me go ahead and just kind of get into like for those that don't know about it, because you know, there's always going to be somebody out there that's probably is just getting started and like, oh yeah, that sounds familiar. So Reincarnated as a Slime follows the story of Satoru, Sartu, sorry, good thing my girlfriend's on here, she kicked my ass, but
Nice. Yes, she would, wouldn't she?
Yeah, I know, right? Oh, she called Mr. Miyagi on me. But anyway, so Satoru Mikami, Mikami, he was reincarnated as a slime, as the title refers to, in a fantasy world. Despite his new form, though, he quickly gains an influence. He gains power and influence, eventually forming his own nation of monsters, you know. Federation of monsters, right? While facing threats from other kingdoms, mostly human kingdoms, because for some reason humans just don't like monsters, even if they're
Yeah,
friendly.
they're just jackasses, you know.
So this is another Isekai anime adaptation, and actually a lot of anime adaptation these days are Isekai. A lot of stuff that's popular, and unfortunately for me, that's one of the things I really like is Isekai genre. But okay, so how is it a successful adaptation, you know, for the, you know, the anime, you know, from the light novel? I would say that the Reincarnated as a Slime, you know, it's actually a really light-hearted story. It has a light-hearted tone with the world building, you know, especially in the from the original light novel series all the way through the anime adaptation. Even the manga adaptation is actually pretty good too. I have no complaints there. And then 8-Bit Studio, who did the animation, enhances sort of like that humor, the whimsical nature of the story. So I think that's where the adaptation comes in, where it's something a little more than a light novel, where it kind of fills in. That goes back to the storytelling, you know, things of storytelling with anime versus with light novel, even manga. They can kind of fill in there. And I think the character interactions, especially with the nations, I thought the anime did that really well. And that goes back to the story building. So, but I don't know, Chris, what do you think about Reincarnated as a Slime? Do you think, you know, as you know, did it is there a good adaptation, you know, that appeals to, you know, what makes it a good adaptation that appeals to a wide audience? Because a lot of
I
people.
feel like the best thing a adaptation could do is nail the pacing, and I do feel like any good adaptation nails the pacing. And then that's partly like how do you How do you control the pacing? Like in a light novel, the reader controls how they're pacing themselves
True.
for the most part. And like right away when you're going to anime, that's a challenge you're gonna face.
You made up a great point. We keep saying pacing and everything, but what does that really mean? And there, we're more than halfway through the episode. But thank you for bringing up that point. That's a great point. Is that's a huge challenge, especially for studios, along like these writers and creators of with the anime. They're taking these stories from the light novel or the manga, really, and then either they have to fill in gaps for the anime adaptation, or choose to bypass complete blocks,
Yeah.
to move the story forward. So, I mean,
Right.
that's a hard call, but you're right. That's what make that's can make or break anime adaptation, from being great to bad or ugly. So, but speaking of bad or ugly, I guess that kind of brings me to turning it now. Like we talked about some good anime adaptations here with the SAO, Overlord, and Reincarnated as a Slime. So we have we're going to start with our what we kind of think is
Yeah,
the
sure. Good old Asterisk War from 2015, I believe, 2014, somewhere
Yes,
around
yeah,
that
the
time.
Astrid's War. Yep, you are right. So
Just
War.
give a little quick synopsis. The Asterisk War is set in the future where students at an academy fight using magic weapons for fame and honor. The story follows Ayato Amagiri, who is trying to uncover the mystery behind his sister's appearance while participating in the battles. And I've only seen I'm I didn't watch the whole thing
Not
myself.
missing much. You really aren't.
And
I've never seen
without fully
it.
ragging
Go watch it
on
on
the
Hulu.
anime.
This is not a. This is not a. Not promoting Hulu, but they have the dub and the sub on Hulu. They also have the sub on Crunchyroll as well. So
That's
anyway,
good.
go ahead. So case in point.
I feel like without ragging on the anime, like might be generic for some people. Some people it's their favorite, whatever. I feel like focusing on the fact that that's an adaptation of a light novel. There's some people have called it for like oversimplifying character development, key plot lines, and like lack of world building that the light novel supposedly has. So I had to like look up like people's like a full description of like the light novel because like I haven't read it myself. To like find out like what was like the main difference here. And from what I understand, like the light novel has some heavy world building,
Yes.
but at the same time, the world building is like it's on things that like most people wouldn't care about from what I understand. So it's like this really, really detailed thing, but it's like, oh yeah, it's about like a frog over there.
It can't be as detailed as Stephen King, is it?
I
I
don't think
actually
Stephen
King
read
is that detailed.
the first volume ages ago, and what you read, it's actually pretty accurate. Is it goes into detail, but it's not like Stephen King de detail. It's like for light novels, it's stuff that it doesn't really push the story forward. Like you could take out there and be okay, and which is why I'm kind of like back and forth the anime adaptation. It just wasn't good. Well, the problem was is just that the anime was just kind of hokey to begin with, in just general anime fashion. We're not getting to like the adaptation part. So it's just so much going around, and I kind of see what you just said, Chris. And I guess that's what I was going to ask is what could they have done better as it were to, what could they bring to life to make more engaging in a way? But I mean,
I don't know, like that, like the world building like that described, like maybe it's weird, maybe it doesn't push the story forward, but maybe that's like what would make the story unique. Like
I think you're
when I when I'm just when
right
I'm
there.
reading like what this kind of like world building is, I think of like JoJo or Terraformers, where like there's those like long Wikipedia cutaways of like the narrator just describing something you shouldn't know. Like, oh yeah, this is how electric eels work. And it's like, why do I care?
Yeah, exactly.
Info dumping.
And then it cuts back to like the battle, and you're like, okay, yeah, here we are again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Yeah, there's no way Astros War would have benefited from that, obviously. But yeah, it's just then it goes back to the storytelling part in for the anime. You know, for anime, like how do you do that? But I agree is with what you were saying earlier, Chris, was there a lot of that world building description in the light novel, like you could do without because it didn't really go to for me the core of the story. Like, okay, well, it's great to know. I mean, I'm one of those guys that just like, oh yeah, I don't mind some of that background information because I think, oh, it's gonna come back eventually in the first volume, but not really. So I guess that's I would even say I guess that's one of the examples of a hard adaptation of you have a decent story, but then like you just mentioned with the world building, those descriptions, I'm like, without that, I mean, like then you just really have a cartoon, really not really an anime. It was just like, which is why they,
Likewise.
why end up
And
like
for me, like I that kind of world building does work for me. Like my own stories are like really gritty into like details that are just there to explain how things work.
yes.
And
Yeah.
it's mostly
No.
there for me and people who are like me, who are like, I like the part where there's a 2-minute tangent about gun.
Yeah,
No.
that's your good old info dumping right there. I remember reading, your Bell Breaker. You have some info dumping in there.
But I'm also similar. I like that explanation or that background or that world building. But because for me, it's like, especially with writing my own light novel, for me, it sets up the rules of the game, so to speak, or the world, as to what to expect, like how to operate, and or if not, do I break them, and how do I break them? And it's like, oh, plot twist, So, but for me, with Astro Wars, I like you're mentioning, it's just like, where are we going with this? Because it's like, it's neither here or there, and then maybe it's like a JoJo's, I don't know, but anyway, just. But I actually, check out Asterix War anime anyway because like for how old it is, it's not bad, especially if you don't mind seeing scantily clad high school girls in short skirts or in the first episode them getting dressed or one of them getting dressed in their from their underwear. So
It's definitely one of those animes that like, this is my first anime.
oh totally, yeah. If you're just starting like off that way it's sort of like okay. It's more like, what's not a good adaptation? So, and
Oh.
yeah, I like to say, it ends right there, but unfortunately,
We got some more bad ones.
yeah, not so much. Like, we're not talking about like the light novel story itself or the story of the. It's just
Just the
the
way
of
it
the anime. It's the
adapted.
adaptation of it, and and now it does tie in back into the story. Well, let's just be honest. But go ahead, Sawa. What's your next one here?
So the next one for me is Tokyo Ravens. So with Tokyo Ravens, man, this one had potential because for, the listeners or viewers who are watching this, right? Let me just give you a little quick synopsis of it. Tokyo Ravens follows Harutora, a boy born into a family of Ommyuji's powerful exorcists, but who lacks the ability to see spiritual energies. After tragedy befalls his family, Harutora decides to follow the path of an exorcist to
You
protect
can just tell him
those
how
he loves.
to.
Yeah, I suck. I
How
mean,
to. Yeah,
come
how to.
on, I'm
How
not
to Tora.
Japanese.
And then,
How
yeah. How to. Just say how to.
whatever. Yeah, I'm
How
just gonna
to.
say how. Yeah, how to, so much easier. But yes, with this one, I feel like they may have struggled with, like, I guess you would say the pacing, because Tokyo Ravens as a light novel itself isn't bad. It's got a lot of like good source material that they could pull from, but what the anime adaptation did was it kind of rushed the storytelling. And then, like, how should I say? It's like the character development wasn't good. and there was just like a limited number of episodes, so it wasn't good in my eyes. I mean, it just felt like a lot of corners were cut and a lot of like it was just short. It was just too short, you know.
Do you know how many volumes were adapted for the anime?
I can't. I don't remember at the top of my head. I do not know. I mean, you don't, it, shoot. I don't know. Not exactly sure.
Well,
I'm
it's
gonna
not only
check
about
that
not
real
yeah,
quick.
but I will say it was actually well received too. I mean, well, more I think more among like the younger kids. I think they really got into it. I don't think they really care about the whole story pacing. I think it was just more so the concept itself, the story. Which you're hinting at earlier, like the story is pretty good. So,
Yeah, the story is pretty good. It kind of reminded me of, I know people might, you know, choke me for this, but it kind of reminded me of Bleach in a way. Every time there's like an anime or light novel that has something to do with supernatural demons, blah blah blah, it just I always go back to Bleach, man. You know what I mean? I always go
default.
back to that one. You know, they
Well,
gotta get their, you know, idea from somewhere, right?
yeah, Yu Hakusho.
Yeah, you. Oh yeah, how could we forget about Yu Yu Hakusho?
Yeah.
Right. Oh my gosh, man.
True. Well, yeah. Well, enough about Tokyo Raven. I think yeah, you hit the point home on that one. But that one is a double-edged sword. I agree with you there. Adaptation wasn't great, but the anime itself, marketing and everything, and the popularity of it was pretty well received. But then again, it's like I haven't heard anything about a n new season. So,
Yeah, it to me, I think it suffered from just limited episodes. It needed
yeah,
to be longer. It definitely needed to be longer. It's one of those stories that needed that.
I mean, part of
Yeah.
the like challenge there is like, oh, we have such and such number of volumes like that are ready to be adapted. Should we just adapt them all at once? And then someone just has to say, yeah. And
Yep.
then you're like, well, we need more time. Personally.
Exactly. Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
but so we actually do have another anime, unfortunately, that kind of makes our list of the adaptation that was pretty poor. And not because of the story or not, it was just more the anime in and of itself. And in case you're wondering, it is Arifureta. So for those that don't know, and actually I've believe it or not, because this is another isekai, so of course I've seen all the episodes, the three seasons that's been out, and as well as I've read I think I'm into like six volumes already, but I haven't picked up a volume for gosh over the last like couple of years. But anyway, so Arifureta, for those that don't know, it's another long title as well. It's Arifureta from oh gosh, even I forgot the whole like from world's weakest, you know, like from commonplace to world's strongest. Sorry guys, I butchered it, and I'm supposed to know like this isekai stuff. But leave a comment, let me know, huh? Let me know, maybe I'll read it. But anyway, so Arifureta follows Hajime Nagumo, sorry, Nagumo, who was betrayed by his classmates and left to die in a dungeon. So what happens is this class gets isekai, this whole classroom, this high school classroom, gets isekai'd with the teacher to this world where they're supposed to be heroes to save this kingdom. So, and while out dungeon delving to get their levels up and everything, unfortunately, Hajime, there was an accident. One of his classmates kind of betrays him, and he falls down into a deeper level of the dungeon, and everybody thinks that he's dead. So, but he survives though. So there you go. Ta-da! So surprise, and gaining immense power from the bottom levels of this dungeon, he becomes hardened by the experience, you know, with the whole betrayal and everything, because he was actually like one of the weak students anyway. Nice kid, but weak student. So eventually he gets out of the dungeon there, and he sets out on a quest for revenge against those who wronged him, as well as trying to find a way back home. And along the way, guess what? He picks up a harem. So Just,
Oh, good old isekai tropes.
exactly. I would say the story's actually pretty good, and I don't want to say it's like dark fantasy, but the protagonist, he's pretty dark. So this is one of those where, like, opposite of like SAO, where the protagonist is, it's he's really well defined, and he gets to the point to where it's just like he almost is like, dude, like, kind of lay off, like, you have such a chip on your shoulder, come on, man. But anyway, so Invitation for me, where I would criticize it, it's obviously it's CGI, especially at the time, though, I you know, but pretty weak, and its failure to capture, I don't know, the emotional development of the protagonist. Again, this is coming off of the light novel, the manga, and then into the adaptation, though they do make him sound like he's an angry bastard, and that's actually mostly true. But to me, like, the CGI was just, I mean, it was like hard to watch at the time.
You think that was like the only reason why it struggled so much as an adaptation?
Well, comparing the I guess how they did the world building and then the story progression in the anime, I thought it did. I thought it was okay, and I say it because in the first season, it was a double core first season, and it was actually, I think, the first couple of volumes they put in there. And so I for me, this, again, this is my personal opinion, guys. So for our viewers, followers, subscribers, you know, leave a comment. Let us know what you think about this. Again, my humble opinion. But I thought that the storytelling itself was actually pretty good. To me, it was just more of just the CGI, really. And even though I want to say it's just like there was like the, you know, failure to maybe capture a lot of his intense emotional development, I think that was more so done in the first few episodes, and then it was just like there's just that anger that just keeps going forward, and he just carries that with him. And in the light novel, it's the same way as well, but the light novel, where it's a little different, is you get a more background into the world, what's going on. I think the anime actually brings in a lot of that, but for me, it's like I'm that kind of person that just wants to know more about it. So I didn't even go as far to say as like if you like the anime, you should definitely check out the light novels. They're really great, or even the manga. But if you don't, I'd say, like, for story wise, I think the anime does the story justice. Just the CGI stuff, like the first season, you just gotta ignore it. But once you get into the, and I pardon myself, it's only in the second season. I think they fixed it, you know, for the most part, in the later season. So, but anyway, they did rush some key points in the first season, but it's not anything to where, unless if you read the light novels, it's just like you'll get it. But you should have it be a stickler for, like, saying, oh, they should probably flush it up. But they were moving the story along to how far they got in the first season, in the first two books. I thought they actually captured most of it, really. So, but it just depends on what you're, how strict you want to be with it. I'm not trying to say Art of gets a pass on this. No, but like I said, the CGI to me was just that was a part that was unforgivable. So.
That was the killer. What year did this come out in?
Oh, it came
I
out.
think 2022,
But
when
yeah,
I
I was
was
gonna.
reading.
Well, I thought that was the
What?
second season. No, it was the second season. The first season, I thought it came out like, gosh, was it right before COVID? I think it was right before that.
Yeah, 2019.
2019.
No,
Yeah.
2019.
Yeah. So.
Wasn't that like the awkward years of CGI?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, which is why they shouldn't have done.
Everything before 2020 was pretty awkward.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why, you know, if they would have left that out, it would have been. I think it would have.
From what I read here, there's apparently like some animation like problems. Like they were working with White Fox, who made like ReZero and like a bunch of other pretty great adaptations, but then
Yeah.
like partway through they had to like move, like switch directors and like switch animators.
Yeah, it was a
So
huge, like, production snafu that
yeah.
was going on. So,
That sucks.
and ReZero. That to me, that was a good adaptation. I wouldn't complain there. So speaking of which, I think they just released something else, but that's a whole other episode if we ever talk about it. So yeah, I think it was just more of the production. So story wise, I think they got it for the most part. Even though you could say like, yeah, they did skip some stuff, but honestly, it's like for the anime, I don't think it's r really necessary. Not only that is this is a beat about anime. You can always just go like if you skip something and you go to another later season, you can just do a flashback. You really can't do that so much. It's a little harder to do
Yeah,
with
a
the
little bit,
anime.
just a
I
little bit.
mean, but you can fix that. It just oh that so I am giving I guess Artie Fred a little more pass because the story it's the story is good, and for those that don't want to read the light novel, I mean, I don't think you're missing too much from the from it watching the anime. But it's just like with any other light novel to anime adaptation, they're not going to carry everything forward in it. So,
Yeah, absolutely.
well, enough about that. I guess more so, I guess moving on is what makes a successful adaptation. We keep. I know for me, I keep kind of pointing at things, but I don't know, Chris, what do you think?
I think it's definitely a balance between like staying faithful to the material and like giving the studio and the like creative directors like a chance to interpret things in different ways. And I think this is an older one, and but one we talked about previously. Legend of the Galactic Heroes is also a light novel adaptation.
Yes.
And the I remember when the recent anime came out, there was already discrepancy between the two animes, where like the opening scene, Reinhardt says this. And then in the new anime, Reinhardt says that. And the recent anime is staying like word for word to the light novel, whereas the previous like 80s anime was like, I'm gonna have this long-winded speech about humanity in space. And that was put there to as a setup for like this big epic that you're gonna be going on. Whereas in the opening for the recent anime and light novel itself, it's just here's this goofy dude. And that is definitely like, how do you want to open up this series? Like, I feel like you can do that now with Legends of Galactic Heroes because like people have it has a reputation to like it's so, like you're gonna latch on no matter what Reinhardt says.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, and that's also a benefit of a anime having a reboot. I mean, at least with Galactic Heroes. I mean, I don't want to talk about what is it? What is it? Trigun or the next one?
Try
Almost,
again. I remember
yeah.
try again.
But
That was a good one.
anyway, but you're right because the reboot one, that one was, I thought more. I thought it was closer to the light novel, and it sounded more something like anime-ish or, or light novel. Whereas the back in the 80s, 90s, like those monologues, man. Oh, I mean, like,
Yeah.
it must have been at the time. At the time, though, it was just like okay. So anyway, so but I guess that's the difference between a successful faithful adaptation and those that take risks. But still works is that 80s one, with the monologue. Because it really was I mean, I think it's a good one nonetheless, even
Yeah.
though.
No, they're both good adaptations. It's just like one is choosing to stay like rigid, and then the other one's like, I'm gonna kind of mess around
But it
here.
works
Flex
though.
a little bit, right?
Yeah. Well, but because it still kept to, for the most part, with the light novel, I think
Yeah.
the
And
theme of it.
yeah, the
It
source
comes down
material.
to
Like the studio understanding like fully like the
exactly.
story. Like if a studio just like bids on a light novel for the sake of like we need to adapt something, then like do they really care? Do they like want to adapt this because they understand the story or like love the story, or are they just doing it because we need to get the bag?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Something that they can market, they can make money off. So,
I feel like, from what I understand, that's kind of a falling of like for Asterisk War, where like we need to like all fresh off the heels of SAO, anime studios like we need something like SAO now, and so like this one.
Exactly. You know,
Asterisk War.
Asterisk War kind of filled that gap right there, totally, especially at that time following SAO's release. That kind of reminds me of SAO, like, what was it? Wasn't it last year? No, or I forgot. It was because it was all over social media. It was the day that SAO was actually released in the light novel. Like, oh yeah, today's the day that SAO was, in the light novel and in the anime at, same date and everything, was released. We're like, yeah, we still don't have, VMMO technology, unfortunately. So maybe. So,
Yeah. Oh man.
yeah.
Ooh.
That just tells you how old SAO really is. The fact that, it's just like that.
Yeah.
You're right. It was just like, because remember, like 2015, we were supposed to have flying cars because that's when he went to the future. In Back to the Future 2 was in 2015.
Yeah, dude. They're wild, man. The
Tufts still didn't win the
Jetsons.
World Series in
Yeah, the
2015.
Jetsons.
They had
The
until
Jetsons
next
said
year.
like we were
Yeah.
supposed to be like living on like big stilts in 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
That's crazy, man. Oh my God. The time just moves quick, doesn't it? Ooh.
Yeah, but I guess that goes back to what you're kind of mentioning there, Chris, is the challenges of adapting light novels to anime. So, what's your thoughts on that, Sam?
Yeah, so like, just I think when, for one thing is when you have the light novel, it's up to the reader's imagination, right? So everybody's going to interpret it different when they read it. So in terms of like pacing, the characters and like plots and stuff like that, when they do animation, of course they're going to draw from the source material, but it's so tricky because like you have to be really creative in how you go about it. You know what I mean? Because like for example, like Tokyo Ravens, that's to me, that suffered from just not having enough episodes, right? And it had all the good stuff in it, all the good source materials that they could have drawn from, and it just failed there. Just it for me, you just gotta you just it's all about the I guess the imagination of that studio that is making that anime. Of course, you have to get it from the manga, from light novel manga. They probably pulled source material from the manga as well. It's so tricky and it's hard. And obviously we see failures and we see success from it. Yeah. So
Well, and I think you made a point there with the manga, because a lot of times when they're doing the anime adaptation, and we didn't skip over this important part because we were just talking about light novel to anime, is typically there's more likely than not, I would say 90% of the time, there is a manga there. And usually for anime, that's where they're actually pulling the material from, is not so much the
yes.
light novel, is the manga, especially with the illustration, the artwork, and everything in the anime, is actually pulled mostly from the manga. Good example is if you look at Reincarnated as a Slime. If you look at the illustrations for Slime in the light novel versus the anime, it's different, and anime did a better job there because they're actually pulling from the manga. And it's not the only one that does it that way. Like The Eminence of Shadow, same thing is with the manga. The anime is actually pulling from the manga, even with the storytelling. And like you just mentioned, is the what I think what makes a good anime adaptation is really how good that manga adaptation is as well. Or maybe it could even go the reverse. It was like, well, I have a hard time thinking that if it was a bad manga adaptation, that it'll get an anime adaptation. But I was going to say,
Exactly,
not gonna,
right?
don't do that. But at the same time, it was like, we're not going to do an anime adaptation effort.
Yeah, what I
Yeah.
mean with like manga, man, like it's a good it's like a visual, because when you're reading a light novel, like I said, it's all in your head, you're visualizing it, right? But when you have a manga that actually has visualization, that makes it a lot easier for anime studios to adapt with that material. But
And that's, you know,
yeah, go ahead.
no, that's what,
Go ahead, please.
and that's what happens, I would say, like 99% of the time, is that that's why there's a manga adaptation for an anime adaptation. Well, one, it's cheaper to do that, and you know, obviously people will pick up the manga, so animes are typically only adapted from the manga. I mean, very rarely, I can't even think of any that went straight from like light novel to to.
I think Legend of the Galactic Heroes falls in that category.
Yeah, you're right. Sorry, we did talk about that one, and like,
Yeah.
but again, that's like, you know, that's like the 1%er right
Yeah.
there
Yeah.
at that
It's like really
time. That
rare.
seems like a product of time because like there was yeah,
like there wasn't the pipeline of light novel manga anime
exactly.
wasn't there.
Exactly. I said, yeah, at that time. Yeah, and so thanks for correcting me, because I was like, I know there was one, and of course that, and then more so. And then you just get one that actually, which is funny, is almost opposite. Where, well, I guess it depends, because it's technically not a light novel, but you get one that goes from like web novel straight to manga and then to anime. And a
Yeah.
good example of that
Tower
is,
of God? I think Tower of God was, right?
yeah, I think it was originally a web novel.
Yeah.
But then more so, well, actually, Tower of God season two is just wrapped up, but the with
Ooh.
its debut season earlier this year was Sylph: Shangri-La Frontier. That was originally a web novel that went manga and then anime. And when that came out, I read all the manga, and then, you know, found out it was just a web novel. That's what I was wondering, like, where's the light novel? But went straight from web novel to manga. So, you know, that's how good it is. Yeah, actually, that's another good one to check out. I thought they had the adaptation for manga to anime was actually good, but the manga itself is like really good. So it's really hard for anime to really mess that one up. So,
Yes.
yeah, just my humble opinion. But anyway, well, don't want to be a dead horse, but you know, it's been a while. It's been gosh, we've been talking about this for about an hour. Boy, it's like we
Yeah.
have off.
Woo.
I don't know. So that's the good, the bad, the ugly of anime adaptation. So again, listeners, subscribers, we appreciate you staying this long with us, listening to us discuss this very important topic. But please give us your feedback. We'd love to hear from you, read your comments, and you know, maybe in the coming episodes we'll go ahead and bring it up as well, revisit, and especially make a great statement, you know, we'd want everyone else to know about it. We'll go into your comments here on the show. But anyway, so we talked about, you know, both the hits and the misses of when it comes to anime adaptation of light novels, as well as you know, now we want to hear from you. So please leave your comments, your feedback, anything we might have missed, anything we should have discussed. We want to hear it all. So please do. We welcome any and all suggestions. Song?
Yeah, I mean, what's your favorite light novel adaptations? You know, viewers, listeners, you know, anything that we missed the mark on, or anything that you guys want us to talk about, you know? So please feel free.
Yeah, share your thoughts. What makes a light novel work in your opinion? What do you want? What light novel do you want to see adapted?
Yes, and thanks, listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Also, thank you, Chris, again for coming on.
Yeah,
Again,
no problem.
with everything. I know there's a
Woo-hoo.
million other things you'd rather be doing, but we appreciate your time here with the
I could have
talk.
been sleeping. You got to let me out of this cage, man. You haven't fed me in a week. Hey, I need to sleep.
Well, the
Yeah,
beatings will stop when morale improves. All right, so
there you go.
but. So, but thanks again, Chris. We'd love to have you back.
Thank you.
And also, you know, stay tuned for future episodes, because we will talk more about Chris's light novels. I would love to hear more about it. I'm sure you guys will as well. But more so, leave us any feedback, comments, or I don't know, you have questions for Chris. I'm sure he would love to hear them and answer them as well. Yeah, I'm sure we want to all know what his astrological sign is, favorite food, whatnot. Maybe we want to know what Sansa's favorite food is. I mean,
Virgo crabs.
don't know. I mean, he was called Noodle Boy for the longest time, so.
Well, yes, yeah, I was. I just had noodles this morning.
There we go. Well, we just answered that question. You're welcome.
Oh,
But
there
anyway,
we
so thank you so much for listening with us. And so I guess I don't know, what are we talking about next episode?
Well, you know what? I think the next episode, we should talk about our favorite characters in anime. Want the characters that we like, characters that we don't like, and why we don't like them? I think that'd be a good one.
Yeah,
Stay
and
tuned.
also, listeners, yeah, if you have favorite characters or your least favorite characters, feel free to leave us comments on that, and we'll go ahead and review them as well, and maybe we'll agree or disagree. We'll see. As well as you, Chris. I mean, let us know what your favorite characters are as well. I mean, I know we're quite a few up here, so they might be on the list. Well, again, everybody, we want to thank you so much for joining us, listening to us. This has been Otaku and Friends. I'm DK, and we've had our guest Chris here, and as always, joining me is Sam. So thank you all very much. Until next time, we'll see you on the other side. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Aloha.
Peace.